Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Welcome to the podcast. I'm super excited to share this episode with you. We're at the end of 2023, and as is our tradition, I wanted to share seven godly dating lessons that I have for you from the year 2023. Now, make sure you're somewhere quiet and definitely share this with a sister friend because this is super good, okay? And if you'd like to work with me and you're ready to change the way you date to attract your husband, you can apply for my one-on-one dating to marry program where we'll work together for 6 months to attract your husband. Link to apply is in the show notes. Okay, let's get into it. Now, my first lesson for you is don't hide behind your purity. Don't hide behind your purity. This is like one of the biggest lessons that I want to share with you this year. Now, purity is a personal walk with God. It's not about being sexually pure, it's about being pure in heart. So do not grade your purity by your sexual purity. I mean, when you get married, you're going to be sexually active. Purity is about your heart, right? And even if you're sexually active before marriage, I don't want you to feel like this doesn't apply to you. Like I said, purity is a personal walk with God. And you guys know very well that as a Christian dating coach, I share based on what the Lord has laid in my heart. And I really want this message to get across to you in a way that it can reach you whatever stage you are at in your purity journey. Matthew 5:8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." So purity is about the heart. God is interested in your heart. And you can get more context from Ezekiel 36, 26 to 27. That's why the Lord gives you a heart of flesh. That's why out of your heart flows the issues of life, Proverbs 4, 23. So don't hide behind your purity. The reason I say this is because sometimes you use your purity to excuse your issues in dating. Oh, he stopped talking to me because I didn't want sex. Actually, he stopped talking to you because all you were talking about is not wanting sex. Or you focus so much on the sexual element of the relationship that you ignore if this is someone that even qualifies as a friend. Let's not even talk about boyfriend. Now, if you marry someone just based on if they decide to wait until marriage or not to be sexually active, you have made the wrong choice. And if you date out of fear of sex before marriage, again, you will make the wrong choice. You have to give God your heart. That's what he's interested in, and he will do the changes in you. People that have been sexually active before marriage are happily married. People that haven't been sexually active before marriage are struggling. The reason I give this as an example is because I want you to understand choosing a partner cannot be based on a foundation of being sexually active or not. That choice comes from your relationship with the Lord, not your relationship with man. Again, it's about your heart. And this is why, with my clients, we explore the foundation of their decisions, the foundation of their faith. Are they making decisions based on faith or are they making decisions based on fear? Where do those thoughts come from? Because even the enemy comes as an angel of light, 2 Corinthians 11, 14. So test the spirit behind that decision to see whether it is from God or not. 1 John 4, 1. It's important you know what the Spirit of God feels like so that you aren't deceived. Some people think they are making a decision of purity out of faith. And this isn't just in the sexual context, it's in every other area as well. I'm just using this element because I know it is an area that we as the body of Christ have a lot of struggle with. But that decision is coming from fear, and that won't get you very far. And it will make you date blindly and choose a man that isn't qualified to be your partner. Now, the second lesson I have for you is a question. What would it mean if you were single for the rest of your life? I'm going to just let that percolate. What would it mean if you were single for the rest of your life? This is a question I want you to consider seriously. And however you immediately responded or reacted to this question says a lot about how you view your singleness. I want you to really get into what it means for you to be single and how that is going to look like for however long it's going to last. Instead of being afraid of your singleness, I want you to face it. Because the truth is, when the Lord calls you, he calls you, okay? You can't run from it. You can't hide. I'm sure you've tried and I'm sure you failed. The call is stronger than whatever reason you're trying to run from it. What I mean is, even if you try to settle and compromise, God will still speak to you in a way that you will still hear him clearly. He will speak to you about your singleness. He will let you know when you're settling for the wrong man. Even when you're engaged to the wrong man, he will be talking. Even as you're walking down the aisle, he will be speaking. So your singleness is meant to serve a purpose. And really explore, what does that look like for you? What I want to share with you here is that you need to use your singleness as you're dating. God speaks to you a lot in your singleness. He speaks to you about choosing a man. He speaks to you about the kind of wife he has called you to be. He speaks to you about your partner. He speaks to you about your calling. He doesn't want you to settle for any man. And a lot of his message for you is contained in your singleness, but you're too afraid to face it, and so you can't hear when he's speaking. Now, this is why with my clients, I like to dive into the depth of their singleness, like really get in there to see for what it is and what it represents. For you as a single woman, as a single mom, what does singleness look like? As a divorced woman, what does it look like? As a woman that's never been in a relationship, or maybe you've been in many relationships that have failed, what does it look like? This will tell you a lot about yourself and how you can use your value as a single woman to attract your husband. Now, my third lesson is dating is simple. I didn't say it's easy, but it is simple. Now, the more I do this work, the simpler I've come to find that dating is. And I've been doing this work for close to 10 years now, helping my clients choose a partner for marriage, start their families, navigate the dating scene, get out of toxic relationships. I've been doing this for close to 10 years. I've helped my clients simplify their messy work schedules, meet their husbands online or offline, through work, friends, and in all other scenarios. It was always simple. They didn't have to fight for that man's attention. They didn't have to doubt his intentions. They were not confused about his motives. It was always very clear when they chose their spouse. Because dating serves a simple, singular purpose: to show you yourself so that you can know your partner. And if dating is complicated and frustrating for you, it's because you don't know how to date. You're just not dating the right way. It's like if you are struggling with something, it could be cooking, then there's something you need to work on in the kitchen. If you are struggling with driving a car, then there's something you're doing wrong with driving. If you are struggling to swim, then there's something you're not getting right in that process, so on and so forth. Dating is simple, and if you're struggling with it, then you're doing it wrong. And I really want you to work on that thought that dating is simple for me. And what I show my clients is how dating can be simple for them. So think, how can dating be simple for me? Stop thinking, oh, dating is difficult, dating is frustrating, because that's why you're currently attracting difficult men and frustrating men, because you're viewing dating as a toxic, difficult, frustrating process. So think, how can dating be simple for me? Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, Romans 12. So how can dating be simple for you? How can you transform your mind to start thinking of dating as being simple? And this leads to my next lesson. You can choose your husband. Yes, you get to choose. There isn't one singular person you could potentially marry that will give you the best marriage. You have options. I say this all the time. God works in abundance. So I don't know why we assume in marriage he would work with scarcity. God works in abundance. So that means he will always give you options, regardless of your past or your present circumstances. He has a hope and a future for you, Jeremiah 29:11. So the question is, do you even believe this is possible? And what's so interesting is, right, the way you date is a reflection of if you believe this is possible or not. So if you're dating like you don't have options, then you won't have options in men you can marry. But if you're dating like you're aware of your options, you're dating from an abundant space, You will always have options. Even when there is literally no man in front of you, you will always have options. So ask yourself, how can I choose my husband? In other words, how can you make sure you have options? And go even further and ask, what sort of options in men do I want to have for a partner? That's a really good question, isn't it? What sort of options in men do I want to have for a partner? Have you ever asked yourself that question? I'm pretty sure you haven't. So let's do some thought work. Now, my fifth lesson is for you is start doing the self-work to see the quality of men you attract change. Stop ignoring the work required of you to get the quality of man you want. Anything of quality requires substance. You need to have substance to attract substance. What substance can you provide to a partner? This is where leading with your value comes in. And in my Dating to Marry 101 program, I work with clients on how to lead with their value, basically leading with qualities of substance. Now, think of anything of value to you, anything of value you've purchased, literally anything of worth. I'm sure it required something of you. It's not freely available to anyone and everyone. Only those that can afford it, even if it is something that has sentimental value, it costs you something. Same way you have to do the self-work, the purification, so to speak, to start attracting a different quality and caliber of man. If you're going to a designer store, there's another example, you're going to get a different experience than if you're going to the market or a thrift store. So how are you comporting yourself as a woman that is far worth more than rubies, as scripture says? How are you working on your substance to be that level of quality? That's what will attract the right men into your life and speak to your husband. Now, the next lesson I have for you is to learn the art of desire. Desire is not bad. It's not bad to be sensual. It's not bad to be sexual. It's just about how you use these qualities. It's important to tap into your femininity. And this is work that I really get into with clients because there's a lack of understanding in this area, right? It doesn't mean being promiscuous. It doesn't mean being manipulative. It's about being regal. It's about being refined. You can be a desirable woman without being naked, basically. The art of desire requires you to position yourself as a woman that knows she is desirable. The art of desire requires you to position yourself as a woman that knows she is desirable. The issue is you don't truly believe you are desirable. It's probably based on your history, your last relationship, or a past experience, just thinking off the top of my head. And the issue with this doubt is it tarnishes how you position yourself to be desired. You start attracting desires that aren't in alignment with what you want, like men that don't want to lead, men that rely on you financially, men that don't want to commit. And it's because of how you've positioned your desirability. Once you shift that, it will shift the way men interact with you. And I've seen this happen with clients all the time. Once they work on their desirability and they shift the way they position themselves, it shifts the way the men present themselves to them. Now, my final lesson to you is sometimes God doesn't give you an answer with a word. Sometimes he can come through your spirit, your soul, or your body. Doesn't always have to be a word that can come drop in your spirit. Sometimes it could be your mind, your will, or your emotions, basically your soul, or sometimes it could even be your flesh. Sometimes God speaks through your flesh. I always say this, and it's the truth. And how this looks like is you start to get uncomfortable with whatever the situation is. If you're in a relationship, you start to get uncomfortable. If you're at a job, you're just not happy there anymore. If you need to relocate or move to a different location, you start finding everything irritable, even if it means moving to a different country. He can answer through your flesh. Stop just looking out for his word. God speaks in so many different ways, and you will hear him better the more you get to know him. Yes, a word comes, but not all the time. Okay, think about that relationship that you were praying for and you were looking at scripture. But what was going on was actually that God was confusing the language. I call it the Babel experience. He was confusing the language of you and this person. He was making you increasingly uncomfortable. It was all happening in your flesh, but that was him answering you. Sometimes he won't tell you not to date that man. He will just make it difficult for you to want to stay in the relationship. Sometimes he won't tell you not to go on dates. He wouldn't tell you not to talk to that person. He'll just make you get bored with the man you're going on dates with. Sometimes the guy on his end loses interest. Sometimes he doesn't answer with a yes. The Lord doesn't always answer with a yes. That's your husband. He just shows you, based on how your spirit, soul, and body is responding to that person, that yes, that's the man for you. And this is why I work with my clients on learning how to understand God for themselves. Because I don't want you getting into relationships that God never called you to based on some religious pretext. It's important that you have that relationship with Him so that you know exactly what He is saying to you at any point, at any time of the day. And you can trust that even if you don't know the answer yet, you will get the answer soon. So let's go through my 7 points for this year again. Don't hide behind your purity. Biggest lesson, so important. Think about the question, what would it mean if you were single for the rest of your life? Dating is simple. I really want you to work on that thought. You can choose your husband. Start doing the self-work to see the quality of men you attract change. That requires you to look at yourself and stop looking at the men around you. Learn the art of desire. And God doesn't always give you a word as an answer. Sometimes He comes through your soul or your body, not just your spirit. Now, if you're ready to work with me to date to attract your husband, and you want to work with me one-on-one in my Dating to Marry program for 6 months to get this done, then click the link in the show notes to apply. I'll review your application and I'll let you know the next step. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. I'll see you in 2024.